Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. Wisconsin, the state of cheese, makes half of the nation's specialty cheese and wins more awards than any other state or country. Our Heritage and Traditions Master Cheesemaker Program and the American propensity for innovation all put Wisconsin on the cutting wedge of cheesemaking. With over 600 varieties of cheese to choose from and 5,500 national and international awards and counting, get ready to turn your refrigerator into a trophy case. Enjoying a Wisconsin cheese is basically like winning a gold medal in culinary achievement. Set your mind at cheese. When you bite into a wedge of Wisconsin Wonderful, you know it is made with the ultimate skill and passion possible. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
I'm Lou Bank.
And I'm Greg Benson.
And this is an ad for Ancestral Agave Syrup, the critically acclaimed award-winning syrup that helps gringo bartenders better make margaritas, Negronis,
Lou, hold up,
old
are you just
fashions?
This is how you start your podcast.
What?
It's not an ad for Ancestral Agave Syrup.
Well, of course it is. I'm just cutting costs by not paying writers to make something new. I'm just using an old script.
You pay writers?
Is that some kind of jab?
No, I'm just saying
What are you saying?
Well, look, we've got this amazing syrup that's made in an ancestral manner, cooked down from the sap of the agave, harvested the way these families would to make pulque. It's a quality product. It deserves a quality presentation.
Yeah, okay, hang on. Ancestral agave syrup is made by real families following traditional methods. Unlike the industrial Blue Weber syrup you get everywhere else, Ancestral is cooked down from agua miel harvested from Salmiana in Hidalgo, Mexico. It is the grade A Vermont maple to the sticky diner syrup you've been using for your cocktails. Ingredients matter, both in how your cocktail tastes and how you treat the earth. Ancestral is better for both. Is that good?
Sure. Or maybe confusing instead of cheesy. Look, just visit ancestralagave.com to learn more and to order your world-class agave syrup today.
And we'll call that a wrap. Catch you next ad, Greg.
Hasta pronto?
Ancestral Agave Syrup, available online at ancestralagave.org and wherever Greg and Lou were able to coerce store owners into carrying it.
I'm Lou Bank.
I'm Sergio Garnier.
And this is Agave Roach of the critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave spirits. I was going to say agave syrup, agave spirits, and rural Mexico. Sergio, I want to talk to you today about something that you know, at least a piece of it, you know a lot more about than I do.
About what?
Bulls.
Oh, yeah, I think I know.
You know a lot about bulls. So you've got a brand of mezcal called Ultramundo. It's a certified mezcal, right?
Yes.
And but this is like a second or third career for you because your first career, you were in the bull sperm business, yes?
Definitely a second. Well, in let's say in the cattle business.
I'd like to say the bull sperm business. You don't want me to say?
Say what you want.
It's okay. I'm waiting for the bull sperm cocktail.
Because actually, wow, that's gross, man.
Yeah.
I was not in the bull sperm division. I was more in the pharmaceuticals, vaccines, and other things related cattle. My brother is in the bull sperm business.
Does it say that on his card? I'm in the bull sperm division. Anyway,
it's sorry. Genetics. It's like genetics stuff.
Yeah, it's not as fun as bull sperm.
Or you use the word semen.
Well, yes.
I don't know which one's worse.
Either way, it's not palatable. Mm-hmm. But, I want to talk about one very specific thing about bulls that gets brought up frequently amongst the geeks of agave spirits. And that is there are a handful of communities where they still carry on the tradition of fermenting in bull skins. You know about this tradition?
Cool. Yeah, I think I've tried one or two. I can't tell. I just think it's really cool.
You think it's really cool? And you're saying you can't tell, like there's no difference in flavor.
Maybe my palate is not that trained or I haven't drunk that much mezcal, but I think it's a super cool concept.
You know, it's so funny when I've poured these spirits and so frequently the spirits that I'm sharing that have been where they ferment the agave, the cooked agave that's been milled, they ferment it not in a wooden tank or in a well on the ground, but they ferment it in the skin of a bull that's strewn about four logs, in essence, right? So when I pour this for people in tasting, so frequently they'll say, oh, it tastes of leather, which is funny because it's not leather, right? Leather is a specific style of curing.
Did they see the bull skin fermentation before saying that, or they just will like blindly saying that?
No, it's always after I say this was fermented in the skin of a bull, and so immediately
try
their
the blindness,
heads,
man, and then you'll have a more honest reaction, I guess.
Right, maybe it imparts some flavor, but I know it doesn't impart the flavor of leather. But I'm fascinated because you're a guy who's hung out with bulls. Have you ever licked a bull skin?
Not that I recall.
Okay. So it'd be hard for you to tell, like, oh, well, this tastes like a bull skin. So let's put that aside because that's not the conversation I want to have with you.
I know how it smells, but I haven't.
Yeah, smells definitely a big piece of flavor. That's interesting to me. So, you know what? Next time I come
but
out.
But then don't make me put that into words because I have no idea how to describe how a bull smells.
You don't have to describe
it. It definitely has a distinct smell.
Okay, so next time I come out, I am going to bring a bunch of bullskin fermented spirits for you to taste. And you can tell me if you recognize in that flavor profile the same thing that you recognize when you're sniffing the behind the ear of a bull. I'm guessing you're not getting further south on the bull.
Let's do it.
Okay. But again, that's not what I want to talk about. Here's what I want to talk about, right? Is so frequently when I've had this conversation about bullskin fermentation, the thing that I heard from so many people is, well, it's the way they used to ferment so that they could very easily, back when mezcal was illegal to make, right? It was outlawed, that these mezcaleros would use bullskin fermenters so that if they saw the law was coming to shut them down, they could very easily collapse their fermenter in a way they couldn't with a wooden barrel and run off into the mountains and be safe. That was the story I've heard a lot.
That's a cool story. I never heard it. And I've seen pictures and they really look convenient for that purpose.
They look convenient. So here's the deal, right? I go and visit my friend Domando in Santa Maria Ixcatlan, and he and his family have been fermenting in bullskin forever, right? He's the first bullskin fermented agave spirit that I tasted, right? And I went out there on a visit and I got so excited about it, I purchased one of those bullskin fermenters.
Really?
Yeah.
Borrow it? Homework.
Let me finish the story because if I had it, you would be more than welcome to. And so I assumed I could just do the same thing, collapse it, put it in my luggage, take it back to Chicago, right?
What happened?
Well,
man, you have smuggled, well, I don't know, smuggled is a word, but brought some weird stuff to Chicago. I don't know how you're able to step in an airport. At this point,
I'm a white man. They let us do whatever we want. So I went to gather it up and I went to collapse it and you can't. It's hard. It is like, it is stiff.
Was it dry or wet?
It was dry. It was dry, dry, dry. But here's the thing. Like, I know where you're going with that. But the truth is, like, I asked Mondo about this. And no, after the second, third, fourth fermentation, it is stiff as my skull, thick as my skull.
Is it still useful or just
useful for fermentation, absolutely, but not useful for collapsing and running off into the mountains, which suggests to me that can't be a true story.
Well, that's what I was going. No disrespect to anyone in Mexico. We like to tell cool stories.
Yeah, fair.
But none of them are true. Sorry about that, Lou.
Well, it's okay.
Sorry to break your heart.
But here's the thing, right? Is in the last year or two, I've been traveling. Chava connected us with this guy that we called Dr. Pulque, even though it turns out he's only Master Pulque, Gonzalo. And Gonzalo was taking us to meet all these families who make pulque in a traditional manner. And here's the thing that I kept seeing is they were fermenting their agua miel into pulque so frequently in either the skin of a bull or in this fiberglass, if they were a bigger operation, this fiberglass container that was meant to simulate the shape of the skin of a bull hanging between these four logs. My point being,
same arrangement that they were doing, the four logs thing?
Exact same arrangement. This is exactly my point. You know where I'm going with this, Sergio, right?
I think so.
I think this is just literally a holdover from pre-Hispanic times. I think literally these communities that are fermenting in bullskin have been fermenting in bullskin forever. It's just that they used to ferment agua miel to make pulque. And then when they started making instead what they would call mezcal, or actually in this community they would call it izcateco, right? I think they just kept doing it.
There are a lot of things in mezcal, as a mezcal producer now, that I have no idea why we do certain things in our process, that we just do it because they work.
Yep.
And because they have been doing it that way for a long time. And then one reason is out of respect for the tradition, but the other one is also because it works. Why? We don't know. We just keep doing it.
Well, you know, this particular community I'm talking about, if I remember correctly, they told me that the first time a car came to town was like 1972.
Okay.
Something like that, right? So you think about a community that's that cut off from the rest of the world. And I'm not saying that nobody ever shows up there, but people used to walk to get there. So if I'm a mezcalero and I'm using these beautiful wooden fermenters and that wooden fermenter fails, how do I get a replacement?
Exactly. That's the other reason. As also from the mezcal producer perspective, you work with what you have at hand.
Yeah.
So you have a bunch of bulls. If you're a remote area in Sierra de Oaxaca or whatever, you use what you have, and you've seen that a lot in the mezcal, in the mezcal world.
Yeah.
So I think it's also that's maybe the reason. So sorry, Lou. Maybe that story is a cool story. Maybe they were doing first fermentation when the policemen came to check on the ones that were doing illegal mezcal. But definitely, I don't think it's true at all.
Yeah. No, I am absolutely 99% certain now that this is just from they used to make pulque. Now they make destilado de agave, but they just continued fermenting the same way.
Traditions, that's how traditions work, right?
Yeah. So now are you going to take some of the bulls that just die of boredom on your ranch and cut them open and use the skin to ferment?
I definitely want to use some bull skin to ferment, but not that way. We'll find a better way.
Oh, so you'll kill them before they're old?
Top secret.
Okay. Good enough. Anything else you got for me on bulls?
No, thank you for having me.
Okay, Sergio. I will catch you next episode. Hasta pronto.
Adios.
You've been listening to Agave Road Trip, the critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico. We're blessed with sound engineering by Roy Sierra and a theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Marco Ricos. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, well, I'm sure you'll let us know that too. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Agave Road Trip. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc. Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization using the power of educational storytelling about food to build a more equitable, resilient food system. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network might lead you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If you drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Drive responsibly. Eat responsibly, too. And listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive. Do not walk either. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to stretch every 30 minutes. If you stretch every 30 minutes, please stay within your defined stressing capacity. And consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you don't have a doctor, maybe Dr. Ryan Acock, the Cocktail MD, can help you out. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip. Out.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.